It's a dialogue with the Lord and the King. Lord, you know that since my youth, I've always sought your will, and recognizing it, have always tried to carry out it. My heart has been accustomed to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, to whom I am faithful. In the midst of the greatest, then I have heard the voice of God. I always know what is going on in my interior. I'm striving for sanctity, because in this way I shall be useful to the church. I make constant efforts in practicing virtue. I try faithfully to follow Jesus, and I dispose it this whole series of daily virtues, silent, hidden, almost imperceptible, but made with great love, in the treasury of God's church for the common benefit of souls. I feel inferiority as if I were responsible for all souls. I feel interiorly as if I were responsible for all souls. I know very well that I do not live for myself alone, but for the entire church. Oh, incomprehensible God, my heart dissolves in joy that you have allowed me to penetrate the mysteries of your mercy. Everything begins with your mercy and ends with your mercy. All grace flows from mercy, and the last hour abounds with mercy for us. Let no one doubt concerning the goodness of God. Even if a person's sins were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart, be it ever so little, to be in the way of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. But poor is the soul who has shut the door on God's mercy, even at the last hour. It was just such souls who plunged Jesus into deadly sorrow in the Garden of Olives. Indeed, it was from his most merciful heart that divine mercy flowed out. January 21st, 1938. Jesus, how truly steadfast it would be to suffer if it were not for you. But it is you, Jesus, stretched out on the cross, who gives me strength and are always close to the suffering soul. Creatures who abandon a person in suffering, but you, God, are faithful. It often happens when one is ill, as in the case of Job in the Old Testament, that as long as one can move about and work, everything is fine and dandy. But when God sends illness, somehow or other, there are fewer friends about. But yet, there are some. They still take interest in our suffering and all that, but if God sends a longer illness, even those faithful friends slowly begin to desert out. They visit us less frequently, and often their visits cause suffering. Instead of comforting us, they reproach us about certain things, which is an occasion of a good deal of suffering. And so the soul, like Job, is alone. But fortunately, it is not alone, because Jesus' host is with him. So true. You can imagine people living in the old age home. There are less and less people visited them. If they are in grievous sin, the grievous sickness, people lying up in the hospital, maybe for the hours, for the last hour. But since you can live another 10 years, 20 years, so they may come once a year, or even don't know when. That's a feeling. It's so true. After having tasted the above sufferings and spent the whole night in bitterness, the next morning when the chaplain brought me Holy Communion, I had to control myself by sheer effort of will to keep from crying out at the top of my voice, "Welcome, my true and only friend." Holy Communion gives me strength to suffer and fight. So it's so important. The sentiment of today, more than that, is the Blessed Sacrament. I wish to speak of one more thing that I have experienced. When God gives neither death nor health, and this lasts for many years, people become accustomed to this and consider the person as not being you. Then there begins a whole series of silent sufferings. Only God knows how many sacrifices the soul makes. So when people console you, you feel consolation. But once you are so long this way, they consider you a normal person. So they tell you what to do and what to not to do, and you cannot do what and not cannot do not what. So at times they don't understand the long sickness. One evening when I was feeling so bad that I wondered how I would be back to my cell, I came across a sister assistant who was asking one of the sisters of the first choir to go to the gate with a certain message. But when she saw me, she said to me, "No, sister, you need to not go. But Sister Faustina will, because it is raining heavily." I answered, "All right," and went and carried out the order. Only God knows the whole of it. This is just one example among many. Sometimes it would seem that a sister of the second choir is made of stone, but she also is humble and has a heart and feelings. So maybe the person is very gentle but still sometimes harsh. It's too difficult to say. And you know, she was supposed to don't even go walk to her cell, and that because rain heavily. So the sister said, "Faustina will go." You can imagine she needed to have that moment. Then she was asked to do something, some other things. And you can explain. At such times, God Himself comes to our rescue. For otherwise, the soul would not be able to bear these crosses of which I haven't even begun to write, nor do I intend to do so now. But when I feel the inspiration to do so, I write about them. So that you want to share Jesus' push her to write all these interior feelings. So she's so truthful to herself. At times we may not admit that we don't know how to do this, and that we are covered up even by ourselves. We consider ourselves a perfect person, no problem. But sometimes it's not easy. Today, during Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus in the midst of his sufferings, as though dying on the cross. He said to me, "My daughter, meditate frequently on the sufferings which I have undergone for your sake, and that nothing of what you suffered for me will seem great to you. You please me most when you meditate on my sorrowful passion. Join your little sufferings to my sorrowful passion, so that they may have infinite value before my majesty." Jesus said to me today, "You often called me your master. This is pleasing to my heart. But do not forget, my disciple, that you are disciple of a crucified master. Let one word be enough for you. You know what is contained in the cross." So, master, master, but master of suffering. We follow Jesus, suffering Jesus, forsaking Jesus. So that's what we follow. I've learned that the greatest power is hidden in patience. I see the patience always lead to victory, although not immediately, but that victory will become manifest after many years. Patience is linked to meekness. Sometimes we are patient but rough, but patient with meekness, gentle. We can suffer under certain circumstances, but our heart is boiling. When one occasion comes, maybe not to this person but to another person, spit out all this fire. Not gentle enough. We say we are patient, but not gentle. I spent the whole night with Jesus in the dark dungeon. This was a night of adoration. The sisters were praying in chapel, and I was uniting myself with them in spirit, because poor health prevents me from going to the chapel. But all night long, I could not fall asleep. So I spent the night in a dark prison with Jesus. Jesus gave me to know of the sufferings he experienced there. The world will learn about him on the day of judgment. "My daughter, tell souls that I am giving them my mercy as a defense. I myself am fighting for them and am bearing the just anger of my Father." So because of the sinfulness, God is angry. But Jesus took our place. So the most serious things we commit, Jesus taking our place to undergo all these sufferings just for our sake. "Say, my daughter, that the feast of my mercy has issued forth from my very depths of the constellation of the whole world, your divine mercy. Jesus, my peace and my rest, I beg you to give light to my dead sister so that she may change interiorly. Support her powerfully with your grace so that she too may attain perfection." Today, before Holy Communion, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, today talk openly to the superior about my mercy. Because of all the superiors, she has taken the greatest part in proclaiming my mercy." And in fact, Mother Superior came this afternoon and we talked about this work of God. Mother told me that the image had not come out too well and were not selling very well. But she said, I've taken a good quantity myself and am distributing them wherever I can and do the best I can to spread the work of mercy. When she had gone, the Lord gave me to know how pleasing this soul was to him. Today, the Lord said to me, I've opened my heart as a living fountain of mercy. Let all souls draw life from it. Let them approach this sea of mercy with great trust. Sinners who attain justification and the just will be confirmed in good. Whoever places his trust in my mercy will be filled with my divine peace at the hour of death. The Lord said to me, my daughter, do not tire of proclaiming of my mercy. In this way, you will refresh this heart of mercy of mine, which burns with a flame of pity for sinners. Tell my priests, the hardened sinners will repent on hearing their words when they speak about my unfathomable mercy, about the compassion I have for them in my heart. To priests who proclaim and extol my mercy, I will give wondrous power. I will announce the words and touch the hearts of those to whom they will speak. So we share the grace of Faustina, which we open our hearts to Jesus, the beating heart of Jesus, his infinite love for us. So we share this special grace. Although this happened in last century, but Jesus really wishing that we look at the heart, his heart. Community life is difficult in itself, but it's doubly difficult to get along with proud souls. Oh God, give me a deeper faith that I may always see in every sister your holy image, which has been engraved in her heart. So not you can see mercy in all people, although all people share the image of God, but at times we don't live it up, and so it's so difficult to experience the word of Jesus. Whatever you do to the least, you do it to me. So at times we see, how can this Jesus so bad towards me, and how can I be good to her or to him? But Jesus, whatever you do to him or to her is to me. It's very difficult to see him, Jesus, in such persons. People we love or who love us, you can easily to see Jesus in them, but not always easy just to see people who doesn't love you. Everlasting love, pure flame, burn in my heart ceaselessly and deifies my whole being according to your infinite pleasure by which you summoned me into existence and called me to take part in your everlasting happiness. O merciful Lord, it is only out of mercy that you have lavished these gifts upon me. See all these free gifts within me with deep humility. I worship your incomprehensible goodness. Lord, my heart is filled with amazement that you, absolute Lord, in need of no one, would nevertheless stoop so low out of pure love for us. I can never help being amazed that the Lord would have such an intimate relationship with his creatures. Then again, is his unfathomable goodness. Every time I begin this meditation, I'll never finish it, because my spirit becomes entirely drowned in him. What a delight it is to love with all the force of one's soul and to be loved even more in return, to feel and experience this with the full consciousness of one's being. There are no words to express this. January 25th, 1938. My Jesus, how good and patient you are. You often looked upon us as our little children. We often beg you, but we don't know what for, because towards the end of the prayer, when you give us what we have asked for, we don't want to accept it. Stranger, we ask. But there may be at times we don't feel that it's given, because Jesus gives us more than we ask for. Maybe this is the reason. We are so little, and Jesus gave us so big. So we can't find the little things that we ask for. But we don't forget that Jesus already given us so big graces. We just look for the little things that we don't see. Even you ask for something, some healing or something, but Jesus gave more than healing. He gave all the graces to suffer with joy. And we don't know. We just ask, why this pain is still there? But Jesus gave us the power to overcome this pain and even to share your life with others. And we stop. We say, I'm still weak. No, Jesus gives you more strength than you think. One day, a certain sister came to me and asked me for prayers, telling me that she could no longer stand things as they were. And so please pray, sister. I answered that I would, and began a novena to the Divine Mercy. I learned that God would give her the grace, but that she would once again be satisfied when she received it. However, I kept on praying that she had asked me to do. The next day, the same sister came looking for me, and when we again began to talk about the same thing, I told her, you know, sister, when we pray, we ought not force the Lord to give us what we want, but we would rather submit to His holy will. But she thought that what she was asking for was indispensable. Towards the end of that novena, the sister came again and said, oh sister, the Lord Jesus has given me the grace, but now I am of a different mind. Please pray so that things will somehow be different again. I answered, yes, I pray, but that God's will be done in you, sister, and not what you want. She wants every time different than what she wants. Jesus already gave him so much, and she's just denying it. Or she wants more. Not satisfied. Most merciful heart of Jesus, protect us from the just anger of God. A certain sister is constantly persecuting me for the sole reason that God communes with me so intimately. And she thinks that this is all pretense on my part. When she thinks that I have done something amiss, she says, some people have revelations but commit such faults. She has said this to all the sisters, and always in a derogatory sense, in order to make me out as some sort of an oddity. One day it caused me such pain to think that this insignificant drop, which is the human brain, can so easily scrutinize the gifts of God. After Holy Communion, I pray that the Lord would enlighten her. But nevertheless, I learned that this soul will not attain perfection if she does not change her interior disposition. Many times over jealousy, I think. That's why that sister left her. thought so difficult except her. When I complained to the Lord Jesus about a certain person, saying, Jesus, how can this person pass judgment dead, even about an intention? The Lord answered, do not be surprised that soul does not even know her own self. So how could she pass a fair judgment on another soul? So true, we don't know ourselves well, and we judge the other person. And we are, I think, one of the parables, Jesus saying, we see things little in our eye, big things in others. And little things in others, in our eyes, just big things. So we don't see our own defect. So true. All the times when we judge, well, worse. We don't sin because we consider ourselves. We are telling ourselves we did our best. That's a problem. We are proud. So ask Jesus to give us this grace to follow Him. Eternal.